Thessalonians chapter 4. And after this, I think two more teachings after tonight. And then we'll go into the book of Daniel. So please read ahead. Book of Daniel. It's a great book. So we will start. The world we are living is consumed and driven and dominated by the selfish desires. We see, we hear, and we feel, and the waves of ungodly and worldly influence crashing into our heart everywhere we turn. Ungodly and worldly influence, practically religion itself, in my opinion. So I wrote down a few things. If you consider the worldly religion, the worldly, the selfish desires as a religion, this is what it looks like. The religion, God is, of course, individual self. And religion's priest is a self, celebrities. We practically worship those people. Not we, but sometimes, even the Christians. Christians have the celebrities, don't we? Those who are on TV, so they become celebrities. And if somebody comes into town and they say, well, we will have a healing crusade, what do? They flock down to that place and cannot run into that place fast enough. Religion has a prophet of its own, music video channel, also known as MTV. Religion has a scripture, tabloid, entertainment, the news and the information program, not only the printed material, also on TVs, on email, internet stuff. By the way, any of you guys buy those things, the inquiring mind, want to know that kind of thing, inquire or national, what else is there? You know, the Elvis Presley is still alive. They have a picture of that, and George Bush had a conversation with the aliens, huh? Yeah, see that there's people who believe that kind of thing. Do you know your wife believed that Elvis is still alive? And the religion has a place of worship. Oh, concert halls, amusement park, theaters, sports arena. Of course, a lot of nowadays sports stars are celebrities themselves, and they literally named their own things. Now, we could say that even the television is some sort of small little chapel or mini chapel in each people's home. Why do I say it's a mini chapel? Because they spend more time in front of TV than they spend time in the Word of God. They literally come home and they turn that stupid thing on and sit there and eat in front of that. And they even have a TV in the kitchen. When they go to bedroom, they get the TV. When they go to bathroom, they have a little thing, they handheld TV monitor. What else? And if that's not enough, then these young people carrying the iPod with the TV, the program downloaded there. Religion of excitement and entertainment is fancy, yet it seduces people into the living their lives for one thing, making them feel good. It's a momentary pleasure. See, entertainment cannot give anyone truth. Truth, a lot of times, is boring, flat out boring. So to get more excitement, they have to come up with something. And the next time, if they come up with the same thing, people no longer buy that as excitement, so they have to something better. More fun things. So their question is, in their religion, is, was it fun? Instead of asking themselves, is this true? Is this godly? Is this right? Or is this good? If it feels good, do it. Verse 11 through 13 of chapter 3. Let's go back there. One page before, or some people have is within the same page. Let's go to verse 11. Now, May our God and the Father Himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that He may establish your hearts in blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. To explain this, he had to establish the boundary of the holiness. So he is expounding this holiness in verse 1 of chapter 4 all the way to the chapter 12. From verse 13 to the 18 of chapter 4, we are going to study the rapture, which we are going to do that next week. So keep that in mind, and we'll start from the verse 1. Of chapter 4, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, being holy in this unholy world is so important because this is an ungodly world. This is not our world. This is not our home. We are sojourners passing through to get to our home in heaven. Let us not be of the world, but let us be in the world. Don't let us be the isolated, but let us be insulated from the world. Let us be the one who is shining the light of Jesus Christ to everyone around us. Instead of sticking the light of yours into their eyes and blind them and making fun of them, let us be the one shining, reflecting your light, that they may draw near to you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. No, moral decline of Roman Empire is devastating, is perversive. And immorality is a way of life during that time. Anything goes. Thanks to the slavery during the Roman citizen, if you are a Roman citizen, most likely you have more than one slave. The less you have to work, it's a better in your situation, in their situation. So the Christian message of being a moral person and not sexually immoral is a kind of foreign concept. It's a new concept. And this new believers of Thessalonica, to them, this is a great challenge. And some of you might be thinking that, so what's that got to do with us? Let me go there a little bit later. Pleasing God should be, listen carefully, please. Pleasing God is the major motive of a Christian life. Pleasing God should be the major motive of a Christian life. Remember Enoch, the guy who never died. He walked with God. In other words, he lived for God. And he started to literally walk with God, and he didn't. God pretty much said, well, it's getting late, why don't you stay in my home? And he never returned to the earth. He stayed there. He pleased, according to Hebrews chapter 11, which is known as faith chapter, hall of faith, is verse 5 says, Enoch, please, his testimony, please God. How can we please God? Apostle Paul says about this. And we have to ask ourselves, how are we going to please Him? I find several things. Number one, we have to live for Him. How we are going to live for Him? To live for Him in proper way, we have to know His Word. Some of you guys know that I emphasize the Word almost every time we get together. And some people who don't like the Calvary Chapel, they said Calvary Chapel has their own Trinity. God bless you. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Word. Well, Holy Spirit wrote this book, and the Word itself is, we learn it from the book of John. The Word is Jesus Himself. So, are we going to neglect this thing for the sake of emotional things? No. So, to know about Jesus, and to please God, we have to know the Word. And while we have a fellowship with God through the Word and in prayer, we get to know His heart. Once we get to know His heart, once we get to please, once we get to know Him through the Word, doing His will is come naturally. Apostle Paul was not the first one who cried out to the people about the warning and living holy life. Old Testament is full of the plea and warning time after time. Don't do this, don't do this. If you do this, God will chastise you. What do? They do exactly opposite. Remember Book of Judges we studied. They were in good situation with God. And they walk away from God, and God chastised them and bring them back to Himself and restore them, and then they start all over that cycle again. So let's go to Book of Jeremiah, chapter 6. In my opinion, Habakkuk is the kind of guy who would scream on top of his lung. Jeremiah is located in the Old Testament right after the Isaiah. Habakkuk is the kind of guy who would scream at the top of his lung and yelling at people, you're out of your mind, you're deserting God, and you think you're going to be fine. And same time, Jeremiah and Habakkuk is a kind of contemporary, a little bit, a few years different. But Jeremiah is the kind of guy who was sobbing because he gave a prophecy, but the people don't listen, so he sobbed in his heart. It is no wonder he is known as a weeping prophet. So verse 8 of chapter 6. Be instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from you, lest I make you desolate, a land not inhabited. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean as a vine the remnant of Israel. As a grape gatherer, put your hands back into the branches. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. Note that, please. They have no delight in the word of God. Sounds familiar? Just like now. Therefore, I am full of fury of the Lord. I am weary of the holding in it. I will pour it out on the children outside and on the assembly of young men together. For even the husband shall be taken with the wife, the aged with him, and who is full of days. Their house shall be turned over to others and the field and the wives together. For I will stretch out my hands against the inhabitants of the land, says the Lord, because from the least of them, even the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness, and from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed an abomination? No, they were not ashamed. Note the next phrase, please, or underline. Nor did they know how to blush. They don't even know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall, and at the time I'll punish them, and they shall be cast down, says the Lord. On TV screen, movies and novels and music videos, even our daily lives, gay and lesbians pushing their agenda as a norm. Are they a norm? Let me make it very clear to you. And you may say, preacher, you are not politically correct. Well, let me put it this way. I don't care to be politically correct, and they are pervert. Should we love them? Yes. Should we hate their sins? Yes, just like we hate our own sins. One of the local churches in Tucson was going to purchase this program called Cork Express. And they ask, can we have an educational version? Usually, educational version is Quark Express is a rather expensive desktop publishing program. It's professional for the professionals, like I was, and the graphic designer. It's somewhere around $600 to $700 for one single desk. It's stinking expensive. Educational version is around somewhere around $100 or less. So they asked me, can we purchase this? Quark Express told them that one condition, that as long as you sign on the piece of paper we sent to you, that the paper will state that they have to hire gay and lesbians in their church. The reason is that Quark Express, they're located in the headquarters located in Denver, Colorado, this former CEO, the reason why he is a former is because he has AIDS. He is a major hardcore gay activist. And Quark Express is a main supporter, one of the main supporters for the gay and lesbians movement in America. So the local churches in Tucson said, keep the software for yourself, to yourself. And they chose not to buy it. We become so accustomed to the mess we are living in, we no longer blush. We just see this on TV, well, you know, those gays, they're part of it. If you notice that when you watch the movie or the TV series, somebody is a gay, and another person says, well, not that what you're doing is wrong. They make a subtle remark. Used to be the gay and lesbian people, that kind of funny people. So they started coming in gradually. Now they're blatantly making movies for the gay and lesbians. How many of you guys remember the old commercial, Marlboro Man? This tough-looking guy, cowboy, with a Marlboro sticking out their mouth and a rope. That's a kind of man's man look. It was American traditional look, cowboy. What was that movie that Broken, what? Yeah, whatever that movie. Why was the reason they used the cowboy image? They trying to portray gay and lesbian thing is American image. See that? That was what they're trying to portray. We are kind of numb, and we don't even think it's a big deal. It's not just a gay and lesbian thing. You know, some of the chick flick, we call it chick flick. It's a love-dovey movie. There's some movies have the illicit sex, illicit relationship. Listen carefully, please. Pay attention. And there's husband and wife or somebody, some guy and somebody's wife. They were attracted to each other. And somehow they're encouraging the audience to cheer for this illicit relationship. And when they get together, have a sex, it's like, oh, isn't that pretty? Isn't that sweet? No, it's not sweet. It's a perversion. It's illicit sex. It's adultery. What is there to cheer about? That's what the Hollywood tried to portray. Do you get it, guys? Our heart become numb. We no longer blush because we're living in the mess. Just like the people of Israel during the time of Jeremiah. They forgot to blush. Let's go back to the First Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 3. For this is the will of God. Note that, underline the highlighted triple. Okay, reach over to your right side, circle that portion in that person's Bible. This is your will of God. Okay, this is your will of God. That means it's God's will for you, Meryl. It's God's will for you, Marisa. It's God's will for you, Julie. It's God's will for you, Victor, Olivia. It's God's will for all of us individually. What is the God's will for us? Your sanctification. If you want to make a note next to the sanctification, be set apart. be set apart. That's what it means. Sanctification. That you should abstain from the sexual immorality. That each of you should know how to, underline next phrase, possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. That in passion of lust, not in passion of lust, like the Gentile who do not know God. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brothers in this manner. Because the Lord is avenger of all such, as we also forewarned and you and testified. Many Christians whom I met want to know what God's will for their lives. So, and here is a very simple, black and white, clearly state that God's will for you is sanctification. As I said, sanctification means to be set apart. That means we should be set apart from this world that is a mess. No, I think we can take this off. You don't need to go back there. So we're supposed to live set apart from this world. What does it mean? And from the what? Sexual immorality. God gave us, and we expect that God's will for us should be what He should supposed to let me know what I'm supposed to do next month or what I'm supposed to do next year. In other words, we want Him to give us detailed information what we're supposed to do. No, He doesn't give us detailed information for what we're supposed to do 2 years from now or 2 months from now, even 2 days from now. He gives us information for today. Each day is a, Jesus said, there's enough problem each day to not worry for what? Tomorrow. Live each day fully for Him, to please Him. And somehow we think that, well, does it mean we are not supposed to plan? No, that's not what I said. Plan. But when you plan it with God in mind. As long as we do that, as long as we are flexible, when God says no to our plan, and our five-year plan, and He says, I want you to go somewhere, I want you to do this, then guess what? You do. If you argue with God, guess who is right? I'm sure I can tell you that you're not the one who is right. When it comes to living pure and holy life, we don't have to wonder what God's will is. It doesn't matter what kinds of liberal theologians says or what kinds of liberal concept of modern philosophy come up with. His idea of living holy and pure life is rather clear when it comes to sexual things. Sex is invented by God. Okay? It's not something man came up with and God said, wow, I didn't think about that kind of thing. No, God came up with it. God instituted the marriage. Sex, young people, listen carefully. Sex not supposed to be happen before your marriage. Understand me? It doesn't matter what the people in your school says. It's totally uncool to be a virgin. Tell them, if I want to be, I can be like you anytime I want to be. But you cannot be like me. You hear me? Anybody can be act like an animal. But it takes a special person to control their passion. Living in purity not always give glory. Not only give glory to God, but also it gives us self-respect. It's not just for the teenagers. I think I mentioned this to you one time, but it's worth repeating. When I was working for Calvary Tucson as a person who took care of all the internet emails, any incoming email, I answered that, all of them. One guy sent an email. He said, I'm 45 years old, and I'm living with my girlfriend and sleeping with her. This fornication stuff is only for the teenagers. I sent an email back to you. What are you, idiot? I didn't say that, but pretty much in the sentence. There's no age limit. Do you know nowadays a senior citizen get sleeping together? A lot of them. As a matter of fact, I got an inquiry from another pastor in Green Valley asking me what my opinion is. So I said, I don't have an opinion. I just give it the scriptures. But why do you need to ask me? Just look at the Bible. I find the three things about the practical step of living pure and holy life. Number one is abstaining begins with possessing his own vessel, this body or mind. And how our sex drive function and what weakens our self-control and what strengthens it. We need to know. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. This is one of my favorite verses that I memorized. And it's a great memory verse. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. I memorize it in NIV, so bear with me. We take a captive of every thought to make it obedience to Christ Jesus. Note that every thought, take a captive of every thought. If we take care of our thought stage, we'll never have to worry about the consequences of our action, right? Am I correct? Answer back to me. Come on. Yes? Anyone disagree? Before you do any come up with any action, you have to think, right? I know some of the guys, we agreed we do things before we think. That's why our wives say, what's the matter with you, right? But we usually think before we do something. So if we take care of our thought stage, we'll never have to worry about the consequences because there won't be a consequence. Take a captive of every thought, make it obedience to Christ Jesus. Second step I'd like to suggest to you is possessing our bodies involves admitting temptation we cannot handle, avoiding those enticing situations. What do I mean? I'm a TV-holic. Have you ever heard that kind of word? TV-holic. The person who will watch anything, including Sesame Seed. That's how I learned some of the English, too. Sesame Seed. Yeah, that's what I meant. Sesame Street. And, you know, just about anything. If it's moving in the idiot box, I'll watch it. That's why I have to stay away from that thing. I can go on with it for hours in front of TV without thinking. If the TV caused you to stumble, get rid of it. Remember what Jesus said? If your right eye caused you to sin, pluck it out. If your right hand caused you to sin, cut it off. Whatever it takes. If the magazine you subscribe to, some of people subscribe Sports Illustrated because you like sports. Great, fine and dandy, but there's one issue comes with it. Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. Do you need it? Most likely not. Unless you're a woman, you want to buy some fancy swimsuit, but then again, they don't have a whole lot of fabric, do they? So, folks, do you need it? If you don't need it, and it causes you to stumble, get rid of it. And some of you might have the Playboy magazine or Penthouse magazine or whatever those porno magazines under somewhere nobody knows. Consider yourself warned tonight. Or if you have an internet pornography and you're visiting their website, God is speaking to you, don't reject Him. If you reject the voice of God, you're rejecting Him. Whatever the things that cause you to stumble, get rid of it. No one remains pure by accident. You have to make effort to stay pure in this world. Third step is abstaining from the immorality means aggressive building protective walls against the lust long before we have opportunity to become physically involved in fornication or adultery. And some of you is wondering, what is the difference between fornication and adultery? Adultery is the things you do, illicit sex, sexual relationship after you get married. Fornication is before. Greek word porneia, P-O-R-N-E-I-A, porneia is kind of broad brush describing all the illicit sex. Anything. Anything other than what God designated. To some, this measure may be prudish, overreacting, but it's better for you to overreact than end up in the devastation of chaos and the consequences. And some of you might say, well, I'm too old for that kind of thing, so I don't have to worry about it. Do you know there are more senior citizens who are getting involved with the pornography than ever before? Actually, there are people who are senior citizens are more involved with the pornography than any younger group. From 55 and over, are more into pornography. And some of you ladies, well, that's just guys' thing. Really? No. One-third of the women who using internet regularly are into cyber sex. Not necessarily actually visiting this porno site, but they're flirting with somebody they have no business with. I found, before I go there, I'm going to say this. Several years ago, before the internet was so popular, going into adult bookstore was something you have to look around and you step in because they don't want to be seen. And let me put it this way. If somebody trying to open the adult bookstore or strip club right in the middle of the Rancho Sarita, what kinds of havoc they who would get it? What makes it, do you think he can possibly open the strip club or the adult bookstore in the middle of the Rancho Sarita? Or how about the middle of the La Cunada? Do you think it's possible? People will fight every inch, tooth and nail, correct? However, do you know there is an adult bookstore in just about any place where the computer is connected with the internet? It can be in the middle of the bedroom. It can be middle of the living room. It can be middle of the family room. It can be middle of the one of those den or office, home office. Nowadays, they can literally go into this porno site with a click, click, click. Before they have to look around to get in, now they just go right in. This is the stat I found. 47% of a Christian admit that pornography is a serious problem at home, according to the 2003 survey they reported in the World Magazine. In addition, 37% of pastors have viewed internet porn, according to 2001 Christianity Today Leadership Survey. By the way, I have a most recent version is a half. Now, half of American Christian leadership, one way or another, their pastor, or it can be lay leadership, half of them is involved with the pornography. Because thanks to internet pornography. As noted in World Magazine, pornographic world website provided 372 million pages of porn and services, some 60 million daily search engine requests for search images that are available at anyone's fingertips. Last I heard, the pornography industry is a $14 billion annual revenue business. $14 billion. Do you know how much that is? It's something beyond, it's more than what you can make in a year. Yeah. With my daughter's salary, she can do it in a couple of years. Right. Now, that $14 billion industry is more than all the movies, all the music industry, NBA, NFL, what's the basketball thing? Whatever. Professional basketball, NCAA basketball, all of them combined still come less than $14 billion. They make that much money. Let's continue in the verse 7 of chapter 4. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, next phrase needs to be underlined. He who rejects this does not reject man, but God. Did you note that? If you reject what we just heard, you're rejecting God, who has also given us His Holy Spirit. Let's keep in mind that there's no secret hidden in the sight of God. What we do in the inner chamber will be shouted up from the rooftop. Little fling in the cool spring day, this king walked up to the edge of the rooftop and looked down. He saw a woman, naked and taking a bath. He already had 300 concubines and wives. He didn't need another woman. It was to him, it was a one-night stand. To her, it's a prestige. I had sex with a king. Big deal, right? Only problem is there was consequences to follow. A child was born. To get rid of that child and somehow make it legitimate, bring the husband back from the battlefield. But this man was more, he had more moral than the king himself. Of course, I'm talking about King David. That consequences is a tragedy. That kid, a child died, and because of that, God spoke through the prophet Nathan. You gave an opportunity to the enemy to blaspheme God's name. Folks, whatever we do will be seen by the non-believers. You can claim all you want how wonderful God is with your mouth. But if your action does not follow, they will laugh at your face. That's why the media make such a big thing when the Christian leader falls. And you may say, well, I'm not a Christian leader. I'm just nobody in the Christian realm. Yes, you are. And the eyes of people around you. How does the Spirit of God help us to live a clean life and free from the sexual immorality? If you read this word, if we get to know His heart through this word, God's going to bring this back to you. When the temptation arises, you submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee. I just quoted James 4:7. And I will quote Jude in 2 Corinthians 10:5. We take a captive of every thought to make it obedience to Christ Jesus. So this kind of word will come alive. Do I get tempted in front of the internet? Yes. But I'm more scared to bring the disastrous tragedy in God's name than anything else. So I refuse to go anywhere near. As long as we have fear of God, as long as we have fear of God, we won't do the things that we do. Don't ever think that you are above and beyond anyone can trap you in. You're not. Verse 9. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourself are taught by God to love one another, and indeed you do so toward all brethren who are in all Macedonia. But I urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life and to mind your own business and to work with your own hands and as we command you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside and that you may lack nothing. Christians not only have obligation to love one another, also we are to love and show the good testimony to others, especially non-believers. And one of the things that we should do, we should be the best worker that your employers can find. That way, when they see you, and then when they wonder why you are such a good worker, and they say, well, because he is a Christian. That brings glory to Father in heaven. See, the Apostle Paul said, mind your own business, work with your own hands. Why did he say that? Because some of the Thessalonian people thought rapture is going to happen, so they sold their business and they putting the white robes and eating bird seed on top of the roof and waiting for God to bring them home. They were so heavenly minded, they are utterly no good. You heard that phrase. Let us be diligent in our work, as if the rapture is not going to happen next 2 centuries. But be ready. In mind, in your heart, it may happen next 10 seconds. Let's make applications. Number one, abstaining from the immorality means aggressive building a protective wall against lust long before we have opportunity to become physically involved in fornication and adultery. Whatever it takes to remove any trap you see, remove it. Second application, as we yield to the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, He empowers us to walk in holiness and not to deter into the lust of the world and the flesh. Let's stand up and pray.